Deep within the Geek Cave, there lives a sarcastic woman who jumped the snark years ago. With her cynicism talisman forever upon her neck, she guides you through the cinematic wasteland. It's time for the More Than Monthly Movie Review from the GRD Cinemistress, Carol the Cat.
Hello again, this is the Cinemistress, and I went and saw a movie. I went and saw Ant-Man and the Wasp, the new Marvel Cinematic Universe movie starring Paul Rudd as Scott Lang, a.k.a. the Ant-Man, Evangeline Lilly as Hope Van Dyne, a.k.a. the Wasp, and Michael Douglas as Hank Pym, the former Ant-Man, but now he's not Ant-Man, now he's just a crotchety old man. Now, I really liked the first Ant-Man. I thought it was very refreshing for a Marvel film to be very comedy-heavy, and I loved the stars, and I liked the characters, and I thought it was very well-paced, and although the villain was a bit the same as all Marvel villains, it was still a very fun movie, and it was a nice break from all the action-heavy, dramatic Marvel films. So I went into this one thinking I would get more of the same, and I kind of did. So let's talk about the plot. So this takes place several years after the first Ant-Man film, probably about 5 or 6 years, and Scott Lang has been on house arrest for his part in the action that took place in Germany during Civil War, where he took the Ant-Man suit and went and helped Captain America. So he is on the last few days of his house arrest, and he will finally get his little ankle bracelet off, and he'll finally be able to have fun with his daughter and start a new life without Ant-Man and without Hank Pym and without Hope, the character, not the emotion. When he has a very strange dream in which he interacts with Janet Van Dyne, who is Hank Pym's former wife and Hope's mother, who had gotten lost in the microscopic quantum realm years ago. This vision dream coincides with an experiment that Hank and Hope are running, because they are actually building a tunnel to get into that microscopic quantum realm, because they believe Janet is alive and they can find her and rescue her. So because Scott had this dream slash vision, they realize that Janet has actually bonded with him from his time in that microscopic quantum realm, and they need him to help find her. So naturally they kidnap him, because you can't just ask politely, particularly not when the person you're asking is under house arrest. And as the trio look for components to complete the tech and find Janet, they run into the two villains of the piece, Ghost, who is a character that seems to be phasing in and out of reality, who is also looking for this quantum tech in hopes of curing herself of this problem, and Birch, who is an arms dealer who is helping them get some of the illegal tech, but also wants a piece of Pym Technologies. So it's kind of a race to see if they can complete this technology and save Janet. And that's kind of the plot. So let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good? Well, they bring back all of the actors from the original film, and for that I'm very thankful, because that was the main reason I really liked the first film, is that I liked these actors in these characters. I think Paul Rudd is perfect as Scott Lang, aka the Ant-Man. I do have a little bit of problem with how he's portrayed in this film, but he's still a very likable actor and a joy to watch on screen. Evangeline Lilly, who is not my favorite actress, doesn't annoy me as much as she did in the first film, for which I am thankful, because she's given a lot more here to do. And that's probably why she doesn't annoy me as much. Michael Douglas, again, is perfect as Hank Pym. And of course, Michael Peña is back as Luis. And I love Luis. I wish every Marvel movie had a scene where Luis is given truth serum, because that was the highlight of this film and the funniest scene by far. He once again steals the show. The action here is also very fun and very lighthearted. None of it is taken really seriously, and I think that fits with the Ant-Man character, so I have no faults with that. The major chase scenes are really well done, and you can actually see them because they're in daylight, unlike Black Panther, where this really wonderful chase scene is done at night. Here, it's in broad daylight, and it's actually done really well, particularly with the constant size change going on with our heroes. And the special effects with those size changes actually work remarkably well. There's also some de-aging for Michael Douglas and Michelle Pfeiffer at the beginning of this film. That was astounding. I couldn't believe how well they did with that de-aging process. That was kind of scary. So I have no problems with the heroes of this film, but I do have some problems with the villains, which leads us to the bad. The main villain here, Ghost, is really not well defined, and I don't mean that as a pun because she keeps phasing in and out. They give her a whole backstory as to why she does that, and it's an understandable backstory, and her motivation is okay. But I kind of find it sloppy writing when you have a character that has this condition and has had it for 20 years, but, oh, all of a sudden she's going to die. She's got 2 weeks to live. You have to fix this now, because if you don't fix it immediately, you're going to die. That to me is just kind of sloppy writing. The other villain, Birch, the arms dealer, just seems superfluous. He seems like he was thrown in because they realized that their main villain wasn't all that great, so they felt they needed something else. And he could have been cut completely from the film, and I don't think the film would have been hurt. But if you had cut him, you would have lost that truth serum scene with Luis. So I'm willing to put up with a poorly defined villain for that beautiful scene with Michael Peña. I will say, though, that a lot of the writing for this film just seemed a little bit lazy. It seems like they're riding on the likability of their heroes. And it works, because I had a fun time and I was entertained. But I think they could have done a better job highlighting these characters and using these characters. The writing just seemed a little lazy. I will have some spoilers later on involving Janet Van Dyne and the after-credits sequence that delve more into this, but I'm going to save that for spoiler territory. So moving on to the ugly. So I've talked a little bit about how good the effects were in the de-aging of Michael Douglas and Michelle Pfeiffer, and how great they were in the chase scenes and the size difference between the heroes as they're being chased in cars and on foot. There are times in this movie where they use Pymtech to grow ants to a large size to use as workers or to substitute for Scott with his ankle bracelet. And I thought those giant ant effects were terrible. There were times where I'm looking at them and I thought I was watching an old 50s B-movie. It was that bad. Now, I watch a lot of terrible films. Anyone who knows me knows this. And my brain, when it sees a bad effect, will click into B-movie mode where I will say, okay, I can look past the bad effects if the story's good. And my brain actually switched into B-movie mode when those ants were on the screen because the effects were so bad. And I have to slam the movie for that, because this is a Marvel movie and it's a huge budget film, and they've shown in this movie that they have really great technology and can make really great effects, but those ants just looked bad, which is sad because I love giant creature features and I'd love to see some well-done huge ants. So, final thoughts? I really like these characters and I like the interaction between these characters, particularly between Lang and his young daughter. I think that whole family dynamic is very well done. And this is a very fun and entertaining film. That being said, it's not as fun or entertaining as the first Ant-Man. I had some issues with the villains, and I had some issues with the effects. And I had some issues with the character of Janet Van Dyne. But those are spoilers. There have been 3 Marvel Cinematic Universe films released this year. I can't believe that, but there have been. And actually 4 Marvel movies total. And of those 4, this is probably my least favorite, which makes me a little sad. But like I said, it was very fun and very entertaining. Just not as much as I had hoped it would be. This is a comic book movie, so it gets a comic book grading. I give this a 7.0. It's fine, but not close to near mint. There are 2 after-credit sequences. The first one is important. The second one you can probably skip, quite frankly. And I'll get into those in the spoiler section, which starts now.
Spoilers.
Spoilers? What spoilers?
You tell me.
Spoilers.
So at the end of the movie, when Hank goes into the microscopic quantum realm and finds Janet, because he does find her, the scene where they meet, Janet, who has been in this quantum realm for 30 years, takes off her mask, and of course it's Michelle Pfeiffer, and of course she's beautiful, but she has this perfectly made-up face. The beauty makeup is so obvious that my initial thought was, this isn't Janet Van Dyne. This is a fake. This is what he wants to see, but this can't be the real person because I don't think they have a Sephora in the microscopic quantum realm. But she somehow found mascara and lipstick because she looks perfect. And she comes out of the quantum realm with these strange healing powers. And I kept thinking, when are they going to flip that switch and tell us this isn't Janet? But they never did, because this is Janet. And it didn't really make a whole lot of sense. Now, I don't read the Ant-Man comics, so maybe this is something from the comic books that I'm completely missing because I don't read them. And it'll be explained later, but to me, I kept waiting for that switch to flip, and it was never flipped. And that kind of disappointed me. So the first after-credit sequence, mid-credit sequence, deals with the Thanos and Infinity War, because they now have this tunnel going into the microscopic quantum realm that works pretty well, and they're sending Scott in to gather quantum healing stuff. They never really explain it. I'm not joking. But he's going in there to gather this quantum healing stuff for Ghost, who they are now helping to stabilize. And as he is in this quantum realm, Thanos flicks his fingers and the entire Pym family, Hank, Janet, and Hope, disappear, leaving Scott stranded in this quantum realm. Now, I know they're going to either have Ghost or someone else come and help Scott in the next Infinity War movie, but I think it would be absolutely amazing if Louise is the one to flip that switch and bring Scott back and then just go on one of those Luis rants telling you what happened in the first Infinity War movie. I would be so amazingly happy if they did that. I don't think they will, but I can dream. And this is the Cinemistress signing off, and I think I'm going to go watch them. Watch some giant ants wreak some destruction.
GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 United States License. Come check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and hit up our website at geekradiodaily.com. Find more of Carol the Cat at guardiansofthegeekery.com and purplehairedpixie.com.